It is Saturday, July 11. Mark Koch rhymes with Coke, is a former producer who recently detailed a transition from a career in entertainment to a life centered on faith-based practice. He reports that his initial success brought wealth but resulted in personal bankruptcy, including addiction and the collapse of his marriage. Koch argues that without a spiritual foundation, worldly success creates an unsustainable lifestyle defined by a lack of accountability. He now promotes a 30-day routine of prayer and scripture he calls the First Hour, which he claims provides the discipline required to resist self-destructive patterns. Look, it is easy to mock the Hollywood to preacher pipeline as a cliche, but Koch is touching on something that feels increasingly relevant to anyone watching the institutions around us crumble. He makes a point about the lack of accountability in high-stakes industries, and frankly, we see that everywhere now. When your daily life is built on ego and temporary markers of success, you eventually hit a wall. Whether you buy into his specific faith-based solution or not, the underlying argument that you need a rigorous, daily system to keep from burning out is probably the most honest thing anyone in that industry has said in years. Meanwhile, smartphones are functioning as involuntary ankle monitors. This is a core feature of the current digital economy where personal data is harvested and sold. Legal loopholes dating back to the 1970s, specifically the third-party doctrine, allow government agencies to access cloud storage and digital records without a warrant. This reality is now being supercharged by AI and mercenary spyware, which enable preemptive law enforcement profiling and the mapping of social graphs. Here is the thing that really grinds my gears. The erosion of privacy is actively training us to be less human. When you know you are being watched, you self-censor. You become less willing to challenge the status quo or explore ideas that fall outside the mainstream. It is a psychological cage. We are being nudged toward a state of constant, automated compliance. If you aren't actively threat modeling your own digital life with hardened operating systems, you are basically playing the game with the deck stacked against you. This connects to a broader, skeptical turn in recent discourse. Some discussions have moved toward questioning whether historical figures like Jesus Christ were literal people or myths constructed to maintain institutional control. The argument, as presented by some contemporary commentators, is that if these figures are archetypes, the institutions built on their names function as a system that inverts spiritual values to keep people focused on external salvation. It suggests that by relying on these external power structures, we turn the world into a prison defined by rigid, dogmatic rules. Whether you think that is profound or just a different kind of conspiracy, it is a hell of a reaction to a world where our phones track our every move and our institutions seem to be struggling to keep the lights on. Businesses are starting to treat their internal processes like software that needs to be broken on purpose. The strategy is simple. Before a company scales, leadership is now running adversarial audits to find where their systems crack under pressure. This means submitting fake support tickets, intentionally overloading fulfillment workflows, and walking through the customer journey as if they were a hostile user. It is a pivot from reactive troubleshooting to preemptive hardening. Here is the thing. Most founders wait until a crisis hits to realize their onboarding is held together by sticky notes and individual memory. When you grow, those little flaws compound, and the client experience craters. You end up spending more cash on marketing just to replace the customers you are losing because your infrastructure could not handle the traffic. It is a classic case of building a house of cards and acting surprised when the wind picks up. It is a hell of a way to run a business, but it works because it forces you to drop the ego. If you stop treating your processes like static assets and start treating them like living, testable entities, you might actually survive your own success. Meanwhile, the people covering the world's actual crises are facing a different kind of operational failure. Foreign correspondents are dealing with a shift from physical danger to persistent, grinding psychological toll. Reporter Jackie Northam, pronounced Northam, has spent 4 decades in the field, moving from an era of alligator clips and limited tech to a modern reality defined by instant information and global conflict levels not seen since World War II. The problem is that our brains are not really built for this. Reporters use hard deadlines as a temporary shield to compartmentalize trauma while they work, but that shield eventually cracks. After years of witnessing cruelty, the human cost shows up as a reflexive need to avoid the very news they once reported. It is a bizarre, exhausting paradox. You spend your life trying to keep the public's eyes on a story, only to have your own brain eventually decide it has seen enough. There is a strange parallel between these two worlds. In business, you stress test your infrastructure so the whole thing does not collapse when demand spikes. In journalism, the demand is constant, but the infrastructure, the human reporter, is not built for a permanent state of emergency. We are obsessed with scalability in business, but we rarely ask if the human element is scalable too. A company can patch a broken workflow with better code. A reporter cannot just patch 40 years of witnessing global instability. It is easy to look at a business model and talk about fragility. It is a lot harder to look at the people documenting the state of the world and realize we might be asking for more than anyone can actually give. Anyway, looking at both of these, it feels like we are all just trying to figure out how much pressure we can take before we have to change the way we operate. Some of us are just doing it with better spreadsheets than others. Which, honestly, is the same logic applied to the front office, only with higher stakes and much worse coffee. A few other things worth knowing. The New York Jets are raiding college programs like Oregon, Indiana, and Texas Tech for their latest draft picks. They seem to think that drafting guys from winning locker rooms is a shortcut to fixing a culture that has been effectively radioactive for a decade. Look, importing winning habits is a nice theory, but it usually ignores the fact that the Jets' organizational rot starts at the top. You can draft all the champions you want, but you cannot fix a foundation that is fundamentally cracked. Anyway, that is the news for today. Get some rest, and I will see you tomorrow.